When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to recap this Sunday night episode of Big Brother 25. And oh boy, what an episode to recap, from washing machines to disinfectant spray. There's lots to talk about as we get into the nitty gritty of the Sunday night episode. And with me to talk through it all is Scally. How are you doing, Scally?
Hello, hello. I'm good. I just got done reading Yellow Wallpaper by Emily Dickinson to be here. So excited to talk about all things or lack of things that happened on this episode.
All right. Well, also with us to talk about the things or lack of things is Pooya. How are you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing good. And this is not a double entendre. I just pulled out some laundry from the washing machine. And again, that's literally what I did. I'm happy to be here.
I'm trying to figure out how that could be double entendre.
I don't want to know.
Maybe you want to say that Corey is the laundry?
I would not like to say that. The laundry was the laundry, okay?
Well, the Kirsten is the Kirsten, because Kirsten's also here with us tonight. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm here, baby. I think that Chappelle's going to be upset not to be here, because Pooya tweeted, like, that felt like recap of the recap material, and now he's not here and we are. In your face, Chappelle.
Yeah, you guys are scabbing the recap of the recap.
Oh my God, never. Oh my God. How dare you?
Well, this was the episode where the game actually started moving again, because we crowned a new HOH. We have new nominations. And yet, you know, quite a lot of filler content. You know, and they were fine. The filler content was fine, I think. There wasn't any one in particular that I was like, oh, this is the worst. It's not like they were doing the fartometer or whatever. Right. But there were four separate filler segments.
It was like, this is fine. Oh, there's another one. That's all right. a fourth. It just kept stacking up and I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't like there was like a little game talk. And then it really felt like three of them were just in a row. Like we went into commercial break through filler. We came back more filler. It was strange.
It's like we watched three different episodes of Big Brother, but they were just all very short. You know, there was one episode that was all HOH competition. There was one episode that was all filler. And then there was like one very short episode about the strategy for the week.
The TikTokification of Big Brother has begun.
It was also like an incredibly boring competition, I thought, to watch.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard when you can't like play along at all. And it's just the type of puzzle where we can't see all the sides. So we just can't even really track how well people are doing that well.
And we spent like 20 minutes on it. Like
it was more, it was seven, like 19 minutes in, and I looked down and they weren't even close to being done.
It's funny because I feel like it's a game of tug of war with Big Brother, where last week we had no comps, no veto, no HOH, and everyone's like, this is not Big Brother. Where the like you have to have things to put it there. And then they gave us this comp. I was like, yeah, I could have done without this on the episode. Yeah.
I don't need the comps themselves. I just need people to have power and play the game. You know?
Yes. We said we like when people are nominated and evicted. And then when they're evicted, they go home. That's what we wanted, right? And maybe we'll get that this week. Who knows?
Yeah. I liked Cam saying I've earned my way back into the game. Like, did you? Because I'm pretty sure you had one of the two of you. You had a base level of 50%. You could have sat there like Caleb on Frankie Grande's Battle of the Block, you still would have had like a 50% chance of coming back into the game.
I think it would have been a much better competition. Sorry to go to Thursday. I haven't had a chance to talk about it. If each of them had to hold one end of the thing and they each had a different goal of where they wanted the ball to go and see if they can fight each other for it. I think that's at least compelling. They're fighting each other, not just the clock.
That would have been interesting.
Right?
I don't know. The 3 minutes that competition lasted was long enough. I don't know if I needed to keep it going.
Give it
forever.
A 3 minute timer, and if nobody gets it in, they both go home. Give me my double eviction back.
You could have had like a Squid Games esque like strategy, like, okay, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we started the episode on, the HOH competition. It was this large puzzle that was being put together. We see that Cam and Matt came very close to completing it at nearly the same time. Nobody else was particularly close. Jag was in third place, and then Blue was further away by a mile, according to them. And Cam has won another HOH, as later pointed out by Corey. Has not had a week where he wasn't HOH or immune from some other method. You know, the first week being immune from initial noms because it was a weird week. And then every other week either being nominated or having one veto or having one HOH.
Yeah, his Wikipedia page looks absolutely ridiculous to look at the table and see it. Look, you know, just back and forth, like blue and red, blue and red, blue and red, over and over. It is nonstop. I'm just waiting for that red to stick, hopefully. Like, let's get him out of there. But unfortunately, right now, I think we're sitting in the blue.
Yeah, Puyi and I talked about this on Friday. Like, has he beaten Frank's record of having the same exact thing, HOH, yeah, veto, or nominated? And I was saying, I think that, you know, technically, yes, but he was evicted in order to make that happen. I had forgotten that Frank was also basically evicted in 14 when the coaches came in and reset the game. So it turns out, you know, you can't really last that long in Big Brother if you're always nominated or having one HOH or veto, unless there's a twist that saves you.
And a big twist at that. Again, it's like the one opening they had, they took. He comes back and now wins the next two comps. And again, could be in a very good spot if the comps keep turning in his favor. We literally, Taryn, just watched a season of Big Brother. And I say the term Big Brother loosely, but our neighbors up north in Canada had a season where someone basically comped their way over to the end, like through like demolition, wrecking ball style. And I've always said this, I'm a big proponent of, I watch this show for the social game. I watch it for body language, for if you, how do you say the thing right way or another? How do you marinate someone successfully? And this is not my kind of champion play. My champion play is there were no comps for the week. You somehow use it to your benefit. And I know you're not sitting on the block, Suri Fields. That's kind of what I'm here for more. But that's just me.
It's not just you. You speak for me too.
I speak for more than one person. Yes.
But also so last week, so slow. No competitions. Nothing happens. It's just fundamentally not Big Brother. And yet this week is when we get the filler episode. Make it make sense.
The editors were like, this was a nice, fun, free week. Let's get some more time off. Let's, you know what? The spray segment, that's a couple weeks old. We'll throw it in here. Why not? Washing machine kisses, that's kind of showmancy. That works. Fill it in. Well, plug it in.
Just the thing is, they had extra time last week, so let's edit a couple segments for next episode so we don't have to work as hard then.
I'm just amazed that we had two Mimi-centered filler segments, and they didn't have this in there.
Ace Tam Minofino. Ace Taminofen.
Oh, is that I remember that now.
Acetaminophen. Acetaminophen.
Okay, Tara.
my personal favorite was them using the like two bottles of the cleaning spray, because it's like, what a lazy way to say you're a clean person. You know, right. I'm just going to spray everything. Nothing will be wiped down. Will I remove any dirt? No, I will spray the disinfectant right on top. Classic way to clean your home.
I was like, this is how a child would clean a house.
I was like,
that's a lot of disinfectant to use in a short period of time. Like, it must have smelled so bad.
Okay. Should we do a power ranking of the four filler segments? Do we have, what is the top filler segment of the episode?
Remind everybody of the four, Taryn.
We've got the washing machine, the tongue. We've got Corey talking to Suri about Survivor. We've got Funk Be Gone with the disinfectant. And we've got Emily Dickinson,
okay,
the non-poet.
I'd like to propose the clear number one be Corey and Suri talking about Survivor, because it had like the great diary rooms as well.
That's
of him being
key.
Like, this is great. And it doesn't even annoy her. I can just ask her all my questions, and her being like, I'm so tired. I have had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I concur with that. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also like helped to tell the story of where these two sound stand in the house, where not every filler segment was doing that.
Or like had a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
the next one for me. Yeah, go ahead, Taryn.
No, I just like it was much more fun than I think some of the other stuff.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I think like for me, the Emily Dickinson one isn't that great, but it gets second place because of the editing around it. I think the check mark and the X's were great. Again, what's going to be an iconic DR from Suri, and the math ain't mathin' from Suri. I know that's going to get clipped by many of people and used in the future. So again, that one for the other, the razzle dazzle they added in, I'll take it.
I do like all of that, but as the recipient of Chappelle's 4 minutes of voice notes about why Cameron was wrong, I feel robbed that we didn't get into the Jane Austen of it all as well, which was a big part of that conversation.
Yeah, I feel like it was alluded to of just like the Cameron is going to talk out his butt, even if he doesn't know what he actually is talking about. And I wish that was like a little bit more of a focus, and then maybe this could have been popped up to number one. But again, it still was telling me something about one of the characters on the show.
Okay, but I might argue that the washing machine kisses were number two. And here's why. Because we got so many like moments in the DR of people like trying to do it and trying
to like that? You like seeing everyone's tongues out?
What were they doing?
Like, stop it. I'm not.
How were they doing? I didn't see it.
But I just think maybe it's because of these hot dummy shows that I'm out here watching the kissing technique, hearing the conversation about how to kiss. But I like that America, who's been a little bit mean about Corey's kisses, got a little bit back too.
See, you kicked them out with your weird tongue stories, Kirsten.
How dare you?
No, Taryn did let us know that he was lagging a little, so he's doing a little reset. He'll be back.
He'll be right back. He gets a little bit to now be like, wow, and I can't believe she's apparently teaching me. And then they all are like having fun, and then Bowie talks about practicing kissing on your hand, which is something I brought up on the Love Island podcast, and Scally thought I was an idiot. Like, it was very like my entertainment coded, but I would put it to third if that's what you think is best. I wouldn't put it last though.
I think so. I think for me, my favorite part was that last line from Jag when America's like, what did she say? She said something along the lines of, I enjoyed it. And he said, you were the only one. So,
right. Well, and that's the thing too, is I feel like there's just all this conversation. Oh, like, how do you kiss? Who taught who to kiss? And it's like, kissing is a communication. Like, how were you not picking up that the dudes you were kissing like that weren't enjoying
for
it?
10
you
years? Know? That's like, a lot of years.
She goes, for 10 years, I thought I was so hot, but it was the washing machine.
I don't know. I don't know that I needed like Bowie Jane in the diary room. Like, wow, wow, wow. Like, I think that's I was good.
Like, that might have been last one where the DRs weren't hitting.
We didn't need any of the filler segments, Scally, but that's not what we got.
I will take this over. We have to have a showman segment. All right, let's have them make out. And we put that on TV. I think this was better. I'll take this as a opposing yes. to that. And then what's left for last place? Oh, the spray.
Cleaning.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that was the most entertaining segment in the world? No. But I was so glad that people finally know Mimi's on the show, that she exists. We finally got to see her, you know, and introduce her to any person who is not following the feeds. I think that they thought the 18th house guest finally arrived. But so that's where it was like, it brings it up a little bit for me as I finally get to see Mimi with a little bit more of personality on the show.
They're like, oh, Mimi's getting nominated. We'd better put her on the show.
Basically.
If she had used a rag, if she had wiped one surface and been a little bit of a better cleaner, I would be more on board with it. But I'm just like, why are you double spraying all this disinfectant?
Hey, listen, maybe that's the first coat and then you do a second coat where you do wipe them all down.
Well, you're supposed to spray and then you have to leave it on for a certain amount of time or it doesn't work. And then you wipe it off. But she didn't wipe anything. We
Did
know
you want a fifth filler segment where they came back to show Mimi wiping everything down?
It's okay. So you show Mimi spraying everything. Then you go to a second filler segment. Then you go back to Mimi with a rag.
This is interesting because when you think about the four filler segments we got, two of them were Mimi-centric. One was showman-centric. And one was Suri and Corey. Why wasn't there a Felicia filler segment? I feel like Felicia's queen of the extra segments that we could have had here.
Because we didn't need a filler segment. We got her in a game convo.
Yeah.
We could have had more.
Felicia.
That's the thing. And especially, like, you know, when Cameron's targeting her this week, and if there's any risk of her going home, like, throw it all. Like, give us all of the Felicia content. I want to see every single second put on that TV screen. So I am excited to hopefully see more coming. But we've also gotten a good number of Felicia segments in the past. So, you know, maybe hopefully a few more. But,
You know, there was definitely time for them to carve some time off, if not for the 17th time they had a person from the Jag, Matt, and Cameron iteration saying, we're working together, so this is great. We got that from like every angle. And then we did see the formation of the fugitives. Kirsten, I'm assuming this isn't one of your favorite alliances of all time. However, I do like their signal of having to do the standoff with the guns. I do think that's a fun little team symbol to do.
It's memeable for sure. Yeah. More or less memeable than a three-person alliance where two of the people have already been evicted.
You know what's bad when the origin of your name has to do with, well, two of us were evicted unanimously. Let's celebrate it.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think maybe we've been a little too soft on crime in the BB house this season.
God, I think that we got a lot of the fugitives tonight. It was just every single angle, like Puya said, of them like, all right, Jag and Matt trust each other, but also Cameron trusts them and they trust Cameron and they're working together. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, we know what anyone else in this house is doing.
Enough. I've had enough. Show me the girls. I'm not here for this.
They are also there. Promise. They're somewhere. Okay, real quick. I'm sure Taryn's going to come back soon. Can we, speaking of filler segments, though, did y'all see that but for the Julie audiobook ad that we got in the middle of all this?
I don't think I got one, but I got an ad on Global that said Big Brother Thursday, just completely ignoring the Tuesday episode's existence.
Interesting. See, I was wondering if the strategy with this episode was bore everyone so much that they'll go to any other content and download Julie's audiobook as fast as possible.
Listen, like, if Taylor Swift can't make me watch the NFL, Big Brother cannot make me listen to But First God.
So at what point do Rob's going to listen to a podcast on that, right? There's no way he does it. Well, Taryn should. Somebody should do this. This is about content waiting to happen.
I bet Rob is going to listen to But First God on the plane this week.
I can't believe, I'm not going to lie, I really thought about, do I have to listen to this to make memes? Like, how is there not content out there already on this? I don't know how there are not clips. There have to be like very unhinged segments in that book. And yet none of it's online.
It's available already or no?
I think it either came out very recently or comes out this week. I don't know. If the chat can fact check us on that, that would be great.
How much is the cost? That's what I would like to know.
Okay. Sam says it's available now. Sam, what's the cost? Please help us.
Your dignity is the cost.
It's so much more than that, though. It's so much more than that.
$19.99 for the small price of $20.
US dollars?
Yeah, which I'll tell you this, there is plenty of Julie Chen Moonves content for free already on her YouTube. So you can check that out if you want.
There are 75 seasons of God 101 waiting to be listened to that I have not gotten to yet.
Yeah.
All I need is to hear her introduce the pastor and Deacon Danita, and then I've heard enough. The slop gives me everything I need.
And if you don't know who those people were, you're not checking out the slop. Check it out on the Patreon. Okay. I did not expect us to be in this position. So where should we go next? Okay. You know what? I want to talk about let's talk about the HOH comp real quick. So they do this puzzle. What did y'all think of the editing and the animation of the rocket puzzle going into the air?
Scally, did they pay you to do that? Be honest. God,
like, look, they tried. I said, like, save the $12 you spent on this. I don't know what, like, did they download CapCut and learn to like edit for the first time? You know, it was there. I'm surprised it wasn't a giant laser beam being, shot into the rockets. But otherwise, it was a pain. It was
save
a real pain.
For the veto. For this competition, I did like that Blue instantly recognized, like, she was like, oh, a puzzle, I'm worried. And then, yeah, she talked about slay the boots down later, which I wish she hadn't, but at least she knew at first sight puzzle's not her thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's funny how when Blue is down or, you know, upset about like the eviction, voice totally changes in the diary room there.
It's so weird. When she's in like a normal mood, it's like, hi, I'm Blue. And then when she's performing, it's like, hey, girly pop, I'm Blue. Purr, kitty.
It's
I literally oscillate because I feel like when she's not doing that, she's one of the more authentic people in the diary room, which I appreciate and I enjoy. But then in the same episode, I'll get that and I'll get the I'm like two hand gestures short of a TikTok dance response from her.
Right.
Speaking of TikTok, hello, Taryn. Welcome back.
What do you mean? I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, of course. Great segue. Yes.
I just started. I was just kind of clogged out because I was like, you know, thinking about how boring the episode was. Taryn, and then I just finally started paying attention again.
Be honest. You went to pre-order Julie's audiobook. Come on.
I think Taryn tried to pull in him on, okay? And then he realized he doesn't have it in him.
It literally is called But First God.
Yes.
So before the podcast.
And you have to put all of God 101 first, or else you're not going to understand any of the references.
But first, there was God. I think that's all there is to say.
That was it.
I have no idea what you guys have talked about. So
we've got to skip hop around.
We just had a filler segment. It's fine.
Yeah, we filler segmented the podcast as well.
We just were talking about the HOH a little bit, so we could maybe talk about Cameron's plans, maybe.
Well, he has a plan. He has a target. And that's because it's very important, you know. He lets us know it's a 7-person jury and every vote counts. And so he wants to make sure he gets somebody out that is not going to vote for him. And that person is Felicia. And he knows that because when he asked Felicia, she said, no, I will vote for you. But he doesn't believe her.
And he knows best. What? I'm sorry. You're going to believe what a woman has to say when Cam is talking? Come on.
I don't know. If Cameron's reads are right, it does seem like every other person in that house really wants to vote for him at the end. So,
like, Skelly, what's that TikTok audio where at the end it's like, you fool, there's not going to be a swimming pool. Like, that's Cameron.
You'll have to send that one to me.
I'll have to find, that's an old one. That hasn't been around in a while. I would have thought you'd know. It's fine. I'll send it to you.
Unfortunately, they did not include in this episode the most interesting and sort of like impactful part of the Felicia and Cameron conversation, which is that she did have a counter pitch to Cam.
You don't have to
put me up on the block. Wouldn't you rather target Corey?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Now, we did see that there was a segment between Corey and Cameron where they were, I guess, matching hoodies. And Corey was, he was a little too comfortable. Now, what they didn't show in that segment was that Cameron told him, congrats on making jury, Corey. Feel very comfortable. Yeah. But he felt too, he took it too seriously. He should be more nervous. Felicia had an idea for Cam, which was, hey, Cam, why don't you take Corey out especially because you're so concerned about who makes and doesn't make the jury. Don't you want America all to herself in the jury house? And Cam said, oh.
Gross, disgusting, slimy, and a tad unfair.
But only a tad.
Just a bit.
I think more than a tad.
Cam was not pleased about this. Apparently the conversation continued and, Felicia was essentially saying like, hey, if you don't like what I'm saying about you in America, why don't you talk to America about that? Because the way she says it, you're all over her all the time. And then he had a conversation with America that went a little something like this.
At all.
I had a feeling she was going to drag me or.
Fuck was that about America? Don't talk about me.
I don't.
Please don't talk about me.
I don't.
Good.
Totally comfortable there. Seemed normal.
It's just totally normal conversation between two people. There's no weird subtext. There's no creepy undertone. Obviously, everything's fine. No, I told you week. What did I say? Week one on this podcast. Rob said, what's Cameron saying? And I said, being the worst. And I stand by that however many weeks in.
Yeah. Well, as we saw, it did not go particularly well for Felicia. And he also tells Mimi that she's going on the block. These conversations are very awkward. There's a reason we had so much filler. There's not a lot to show in the episode. And ultimately, you know, Cam wants to target Felicia. Is this the right move for Cam, Booyah?
Well, see, the thing is, let's boil it down like this. He's obviously, like we did discuss this while you were gone, Taryn, that they showed us 800 times the fugitives are a thing. These three are working together. So he's got this solid thing going on. He's obviously looking out for Suri, looking out for him. So that's good, or at least as far as he can see it. It's one of those things where he's already put Felicia up before. So it's an easy person to put back up. And if he's already felt like that bridge is burnt, you just get rid of Felicia. Now, is it better for him moving forward? I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I think for someone like him who's winning a lot of these comps, just get rid of other people that could win these comps. If you so much feel like you're the comp king, take out the comp opponents that you have in front of you.
Yeah, Taryn, you mentioned this weekend about how it makes sense for Matt and Jake to wait one more week before they turn on Cam. But I think it really behooves Cam at this point to turn on them right away. If he could get Matt out of the house this week, there's only really one major competitor that he needs to worry about. Like, your back is already up against the wall. Play from that point. You have to win the vetoes to get to the end anyways. You might as well take out someone who could beat you at a veto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if your strategy is oops all comp wins, then like go ahead and take out anyone that could threaten that strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I might be the highest on it then of the panel in terms of targeting Felicia. I think that Felicia is not necessarily the best target for him, but I do think that working with Matt and Jag makes sense for him for now because. Right. They don't want to take a shot yet, and he has way more protection if the three of them are working together. Even if it is just one more week, you know, then he has the ability to take a shot at 8 instead of 10. And now, you know, that's a considerably less amount of competitions that he has to really win. Plus, from there, he's much more likely to be able to play in each veto. And for as much as these competitions do heavily favor his build and archetype, you know, usually there's at least one he's not able to win somewhere along the line. It's an interesting thought. And I think the most important thing for Cam here is what Corey talks about in the episode, which is this guy's a wild card. He threw everyone for a loop the last time he was the HOH, made everybody not trust him. He got evicted immediately following that week. He needs to just be consistent. Just pick a target, stick with it, make his allies feel comfortable, like he's predictable and reliable so that he's not both threatening and unpredictable and wild.
I almost find it more squirrely for him to now suddenly be consistent. I'm like, what are you hiding? You haven't been like this all season. Like, I feel like that would make me even more nervous.
Maybe. And really, I think another main thing is that with a veto competition coming up, he has no business winning this. Like, he has two people on the block who both of them could go and it would be perfectly fine for Cam. He does not need to, you know, add further, you know, targets onto his already very targeted back. I think that's sort of like the play for Cam this week from my perspective.
I agree.
Yeah.
Was there anything else from the episode?
Let's see.
I mean, I just love listening to Felicia talk about Cameron in the diary room. She never misses. She's so funny and also so accurate. Just love her. Just wanted to put that out there on the record one more time.
Okay.
Perfect. Hilarious. Iconic. No notes.
What did I watch tonight? Because I can't think of anything else that we haven't covered already.
No.
Well, I mean, a lot of Survivor fans on the pod. Does anyone want to talk about like, do you guys remember tribe names like that? I don't. I feel like my brain is Swiss cheese.
No, I'm very cool.
Like, if you, I don't even know what the tribes are called this season. Like, and I know I never
one of them
know.
Is called Bellow, and it's not the Yellow Tribe.
Oh wait,
it's
one of them Blue is Reba. Tribe.
Taryn, that's how you remember. It's the Blue Tribe.
One of them
tribe.
Is Reba.
Blue, yeah. Reba, and
Stinger.
Lulu. Yeah.
Oh, Delulu, yeah.
I don't remember it until the season's done. Then I forget. That's really how it is for me.
I've already forgotten one of the three that we just said.
It depends. Taryn. I mean, please. Corey was even like, Suri, you were on like the Blue Tribe, right? Just, I don't know. Like, he was not going real specific.
You went from blue to green that season, and then one was called this. Taryn, you're on next season, okay? Just we'll play a scenario. You're on the season. A RHAP listener also on the season. They're gonna pick your brain about the stock wise. So, like in 20, did you really give Tyler? Like Tyler really got a 10? Like his average was this. How are you gonna like? Do you like that? Do you like talking about like your podcast stuff, or would you be like, stop this, please?
We can't 1000%. I'm Suri. And
listen, I'm ready. Like, let's go back to the old catalog of the Taryn show. Like, which one did you reveal that you're a singer, Taryn? Which episode was that?
Oh,
which
you would get so targeted, Kirstie. Like, she knows the backlog of the she needs to go. She knows too much.
I think I could target it anyways. I'd be like, wow, she's so annoying and loud.
It's just like Corey, you're a player now. Like, you're going to get off of this show. You're going to go to events. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk to plenty of players about their game. To the point where you are going to get sick of it. You do not need to indulge in this right now.
You could talk
Well, that's the thing is, Corey listens to the podcast all the time. Rob has talked about his Survivor All-Star experience, and like, you know, I have these five captive audience, like big time Survivor players in front of me. Let me talk to them, and how maybe that wasn't like the best thing for him. And so it's just, you would think that maybe Corey would just like slow it down a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true. Can I say that Corey's mustache is looking a lot better these days? It really has started to come in, and I'm happy for him.
Wrong.
Have you been going out a lot recently, Kirsten?
I mean, is it the best mustache in the world? No, but it's coming in a lot thicker. I'm happy for him. I still think you don't experiment with facial hair on national television, but like, I want to give credit where credit's due. It's much better.
It's the growing pain era for sure.
Like, I'm not saying, oh, I've never seen a better mustache. Like, it's not even the best mustache in the house, obviously. But like, it's coming in a lot more.
I feel like
that's nice.
I don't know. I feel like the more it comes in, the less I like it.
Yeah, you just don't like mustaches, though.
That's
like,
very
you
fair.
Just posted the clip from the draft where you drafted someone who doesn't like mustaches. Like,
listen, I've been drafting via pet peeve since the start. An anti-mustache is a great pet peeve to have.
Could never be me, but I love that for your journey.
Taryn had a personal nightmare when the hipster era was in the early 2010s. You're like, nope, yeah, none of this.
I'm actually not that anti-hipster mustache. I feel like hipster mustaches, they can be artistic. It's the like manly mustache that I'm like, eh.
So you like it if it has a little bit of like roller coaster world, to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You can have those ones. I'll take the others.
Yeah. You keep the handlebar mustaches
here. I don't want handle. No, handlebars are not what I'm talking about.
Karen doesn't want it to go down. If it goes up, it's cool.
Yeah. I want you to look like a supervillain.
Isn't that not a handlebar mustache? When
the handlebar goes off the sides. Doesn't it?
Really?
Yeah, not all the way down.
The handlebar is when you gel it up.
No, I don't think
everybody
so.
Everybody do a finger mustache. We are all millennials.
Yeah, I've not had a mustache since I was like 17. It's been beard. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's beard and mustache.
Well, the cruelest thing my parents did to me was they didn't tell me how my face looked with the mustache. Because when I was growing facial hair, the mustache came first. And I have photos that look like horror because I have this like awful mustache that needed to have been gone. So I've just never looked back since. I've been scarred.
Yeah, I don't really count. Like if you have a beard, I don't say you have a mustache.
No.
You got a beard because nobody would have the beard without the mustache portion of it.
Okay, but wouldn't that be hilarious?
No, because as someone who's used to shave his whole face, I have tried that. You know, you like do different stuff. So I've done mustache first. It does not look good.
Do you have a photo?
No, I should have probably taken the photos to keep just to remember, but no.
Next
Damn.
Time.
So mad at Pat Bria for this.
I know. And I haven't trimmed my, like, shaved my face since 2014 at this point. So no Damn. Time soon. Yeah.
All right. Well,
luck, so.
I suppose that's about what we have from the episode then.
Well, like 30 minutes was from the episode. We've just been talking about ourselves for 7 minutes now at this point.
Well,
and what luckily, about it?
There is some stuff to talk about. With the live feeds.
Yes.
So let's get into some live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that actual
Whoa, spoiler who's doing this that?
Has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Not gonna lie, that's the one I meant to play. They're both called the same thing.
I meant to borrow a taboo buzzer so that I could come in clutch and have it, but I forgot. So there you go.
All right. Well, things have gotten a bit more exciting with the live feeds, which hopefully means the episodes will pick up a little bit by Tuesday night, because they will be on Tuesdays now instead of Wednesdays. And things have gotten more interesting because they played in a veto competition where Cameron won again. And he has won both the HOH and the veto in spots where he really didn't need either one of them. And he's also been thinking. He clearly had a target in this episode. It was Felicia. People have been speculating, was his target always Felicia or was he always targeting somebody else? I think we're clearly seeing now his target was Felicia at one point. However, he started to shift his focus and he's starting to look over at Corey, who is both simultaneously too comfortable and also so incredibly nervous. And whichever one it is, he doesn't like it.
Felicia got in his head, okay? Like,
listen, she was like, you're talking about jury.
Loud. And he was like, let me think on it. Let me think on that.
Corey should know when the HOH says to kick your feet up, it does not mean good things for the week. He should also know
it's his birthday week and he needs to be careful.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. We've already seen it once this season. You don't want to take it easy on your birthday week.
I've been doing a lot of stats lately. I'm very curious, actually, about the birthday stat of the people who have had birthdays in the house. I feel like it's got to be pretty disproportionate in terms of people who have been evicted on their birthday week.
Is it the pro strat to be born at a different time of year.
Yes. Or just lie about your birthday. Yeah. But instead of lying and saying, this is my birthday, lie and pretend it's not your birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, last season we had one person like become good at the game on their birthday, basically. Otherwise, I think it's generally a curse.
But that was like, you know, the prefrontal cortex, you know, fully formed.
It was specifically the 25th birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is brutal.
Yes, with Cam looking at Corey, he's thinking about taking Felicia off the block, replacing Felicia with Corey. So here's the brief timeline of how this happened. He pitched it to Matt, who was kind of like, interesting thought. Matt, it's important to note, A, hasn't been enjoying Corey or America lately. B, has also not been enjoying Cam beating him in things lately. So from Matt's perspective, he hears this pitch. And he goes, so you want to take out Corey because you don't believe that Blue and Corey are coming after each other. I think you're wrong. I think Blue and Corey are going after each other, which is a problem for me because I want them to be going after you. So if you want to take out Corey to unite the house against you, actually, I love this plan, Cam. Matt said, hey, Jag, let's come up and hear this plan. Cam pitched it to Jag, who was like, no, I hate this. This is terrible for all of us. I have a plan, which is to pit Corey against Blue. And then it benefits all three of us. And then they were like, okay, well, let's talk it through. And so they went to bed. They woke up this morning and Cam started thinking. And he was like, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense for me. Maybe if I take out Corey, the whole house unites against me. That might be an issue. And he goes to Matt and he says, Matt, I'm kind of feeling like maybe we shouldn't do it. And Matt's like, what do you mean? I had such a great idea. You definitely aren't going to be evicted next week if you do this. I'm definitely not going to evict you next week if you do this. Everyone's going to love it. Blue's going to be so grateful that she just ignores the fact that you're a huge threat and will not want to take you out of the game. And Cam was like, Matt, you're right. I should do this. And so Matt brought it back to Jag, who was like, no, this is such a bad idea. And then they both went to Cam and Cam was like, Jag, I know you're working with Corey, but it has to happen. And so it's starting to look like it's probably going to happen. At the very least, that Cam is just going to straight up put Corey up on the block. Now, are the votes there? That's a big question. Corey would need America, Jag, Bowie, and Matt in order to survive. In order to get Bowie, he needs both Jag and Matt. In order to get Jag and Matt, he needs to get Matt. And Matt doesn't really want to keep Corey around. So if Corey goes up on the block, it's pretty likely that he'll go home, especially considering the fact that if Jag and Matt wanted to keep Corey, they would basically have to declare war openly on Cam, while Cam still has a chance to win a veto next week and survive. Plus, Cam now has potential allies who they flipped against, like Ceri and Felicia and other people who, and Blue even, who wanted Corey gone, but Jag and Matt wouldn't go along with. So Corey going up on the block feels like a death sentence, and it feels like the clock is ticking in terms of the potential for it to not happen. And it's looking like this might be the end for Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is with getting Matt is really good at mirroring and telling people what they want. So if all of the sudden Corey is campaigning to Matt and Matt's like, yeah, of course I got you, there's not a lot of room to like authentically make ground up with Matt at that point, because he's not telling you like how he really feels and you don't really get a lot back from him. So I think that it is going to be pretty tough to figure out actually what to say to flip him.
Yeah, this is interesting, because while I personally feel like Corey is a little too loose with pouring information to people, and by that I mean, I feel like, you know, you will share a vague idea with some people you consider close, but you'll share your like final three plans all the way to final three with like one person. Whereas I feel like he does this with quite a few people. Like he's like, he'll pepper it here. And that can seem very arrogant or seem like you're thinking way too far ahead. You're getting too big for your boots, whatever. That being said, we've also been talking a lot about this double eviction that didn't happen. If Corey does leave this week, and I have to think about it more to phrase it right, but Taryn, is this one of the most screwed by a twist people of all time? If, because he pulls a double eviction, like double crown, and takes Jared, wins it, takes Jared out, and arguably would have been in probably the one of the better spot, best spot in the house going forward. And then the game stops and it brings back the two people that he had voted out. And now he goes out. Now, again, I'd have to think about it more. It's very surface level, but I do think that I can blame only him for him going up this week. Well,
yeah, because I feel like, like the game in terms of competition stopped, but the game in terms of conversations did not. And this Corey really took his foot off of the gas, whereas most other people really did not. And he let things go by him and, you know, played from bed a lot of the week that he should not have.
I like what someone said. He was disadvantaged by the twist, but he also played terribly. That's the one.
Yeah. I mean, even excluding Big Brother Canada, I think there are probably quite a few examples of people who were screwed a lot more by twists in Big Brother US. One Eric Stein, perhaps, and Jesse, like some others. Obviously, it wasn't good for Corey to have his HOH reversed, and for Cam to come back into the game. But as the chat is saying as well, I think that like he had every opportunity to be okay. It definitely, like, he got screwed in the sense that like he got put into a bad situation. But this could have worked out even better for Corey if he played his cards a different way. There was a time where losing Cam was bad for Corey because Cam was the thing that he could use to take out Matt and Jack because he had the better relationship with Cam. And then over the course of a week with Cam being a zombie, that just went away. And it got to the place where it is now. I think that you can definitely say that the twist was not good for Corey. You could maybe even say he got screwed by the twist, but ultimately I think, you know, the Stockwatch ratings also tell the story that, like, you know, Corey's kind of been screwing himself.
Yeah, Corey screwed Corey
for a while. I would love to see Corey play this game in like 4 years, just to have a little bit more time, a little bit more world experience. And I think that he could be really deadly when he has, you know, the time to kind of learn more of when to say things and when to not. And I think that would be a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because the culture of the house has been so like spill all the information you have to everyone. And so Corey has adapted to that. The problem is not really accounted for everyone spilling that he's spilling constantly. And that's been what's getting around and what's been screwing him.
You know, yeah. I was about to say when you said 4 years from now, I said, oh, maybe three, and then he'll turn 25 in the house, only to realize, yeah, in no other season would he have had his birthday in the house. In no other season would his birthday have been this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that plays into it as well, I suppose. But
it is heartbreaking, and I will say this. It's heartbreaking because I know he's a huge fan. And for him to miss out on jury potentially, heart goes out to him, especially because in any other season in the modern era, he would have been at the jury at this point.
Yeah.
That being said, I think when we look back at this last couple weeks in the future, you can definitely pinpoint where he went wrong and he dropped the ball.
But what breaks my heart most of all is even with the smaller jury, if the people they had voted out had simply gone home, he still would have made the smaller jury, right? Yeah. Like, that sucks.
There was like 10 times the people were like going home, and yet he still did not make the jury somehow. Yeah. So,
I mean, to be fair, he's probably played more days than most people who have made the jury.
That's so bad, but yes.
Yeah. And so the thing is, for Corey, I was nervous when he like went ahead and made that big move on Izzy, but it was like, and like, oh, this could like go ahead and blow up in his face. Well, like he has played a game actively. He might like regret certain things, but he didn't just go out like as a number late game. Like he'll survive. It'll be okay.
Yeah. So that's where things seem to be standing at this moment. It's I think the feeds are down right now for the movie showing. Movie tie-in for the
Exorcist
veto
right?
competition. Yes. And so, you know, if anything, that's worse for Corey because, I think it's a race against the clock right now in terms of preventing Cam from making the play. And I think Cam is pretty determined to make the play.
Yeah.
So, you know, things could definitely change. It is not locked by any means, but it does seem like this is the end for Corey. And then that will lock in the jury. And it will theoretically lock in that Cam might be following him out the door once again.
Mm-hmm. I put prayer circle for that to happen.
I would have liked to exorcise a couple demons from that house a couple weeks earlier, but ultimately we're getting the movie now. And I do think that it's tough for Corey's game, but we'll see. It's not over.
So what happens when next week there's a new twist announced after Corey's out that you might not be out of the game just yet, Scally? What do you do?
Jury then? Buyback and triple eviction.
My 13th reason, truly. Oh my God.
Oh my. That's about what we have then, I think, for tonight on this late edition of the Big Brother Recap podcast. We'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on if anything does happen, if there are any updates to the Corey backdoor situation. You can tune in tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. I'll update you on all of that. Tomorrow night, Monday night, is going to be the roundtable, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The episodes are moving to Tuesdays, so the roundtables are moving to Mondays. And it's going to be 8:30 p.m. Eastern for that. And then Tuesday, I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode live with all of you. And then we'll be here to recap it all on Tuesday night. And we'll continue to move forward from there. You can also find me over on Twitter and Instagram. I'm posting climbing stuff there. I'm on a journey, a quest to complete a set of climbs. That's basically what I got. Scally, what do you got going on?
I am on Twitter at @Brian_Scally. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally playing some Pokemon. I am talking about the challenge regularly over on the Dom and Colin podcast, which has been a ton of fun. I'm guesting on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast with Puya this week, as well as has guested on the Devil's talking about the Devil's Plan on Nothing But Netflix with Rob and Chappelle, the first two episodes. So people should check that out. And then, tomorrow I'm going to be talking with Puya about the Traitors Canada, about some reality TV alumni and all of that. So people should get excited.
All right. Puya, what do you got going on?
Well, twitch.tv/Puya is where you can find me when I'm not podcasting, and at Puyaism for Twitter. Like Scally said, we're kicking off Traitors Canada premiering tomorrow night. We're going to be live right here after the episodes in an attempt to piece everything together. See who becomes the traitors at the gate. Like Scally said, also, there's some alumni from Big Brother Canada. We've got a survivor in there. We've got some other Canadians ready to take this competition. And I'm very excited for it. So it's going to be a good time. 90 Days still going strong. Masked Singer somehow still going strong. Just came back this week. Leon and I talked about that as well. And I'm going to be in New York this week. So I'm very excited. Should be a fun time.
All right. And Kirsten.
Yes, so Mess Magnets every week with Sasha Joseph talking about pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics. And if people want to subscribe to the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed, there is going to be FBoy Island content there very soon with myself and Jenny Autumn. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight then. Thank you all so much for joining us here, and we'll see all of you next time.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.